Thank you for the introduction, Olga. today I'll discuss the late time behavior of OTOC. It's based on work we done last year with Douglas Stanford and Sun Yao. It's this paper. And there's also a closely related paper later last year by Penfei Gu, Alexei Kitaev, and Yingfei Gu, Alexei Kitaev, and Penfei Zhang. So let me start with a brief review of quantum chaos. So when people talk about quantum chaos, sometimes we mean the same thing, but sometimes we mean slightly different things. But more precisely, in my mind, there's two types of very closely related notion of quantum chaos. One is single particle quantum chaos that has been like a subject being developed over the last 40 or 50 years, starting from Barry, Dyson, etc. And there's another notion of recently, more popular notion of quantum chaos is quantum many-body chaos. It's dealing with the chaotic property of a many-body system. These two are very closely related, but they share some difference. So let me first start with a brief review of a single particle quantum chaos. This talks about quantization of a classical chaotic system. For example, we have like a hyperbolic billion. The classical chaos is characterized by its butterfly effect. That is we're thinking about the deviation of nearby trajectories due to the initial perturbations. So that is characterized by the Poisson bracket of late time position with the initial position. And if it's chaotic system, then it have exponential growth with a coefficient called the Lyapunov exponent. So quantization of such system shows up that the chaotic nature of the system shows up in the energy level statistics. That is the connection between classical chaos and quantum chaos. For example, one quantity that characterizes level statistics is a spectral form factor, which is the two-point function of the anticontinuous Pachin function. So that contains the information about the rho operator, where rho is the density of states. Here I refer one graph from the paper by Kotler and all about the SYK system, where it's a many-body chaotic system. But at late time, because the behavior is governed by random metric theory, so it's the same. So for example, in this case, GOE, we have a linear ramp and a plateau. Those are governed by the random matrix behavior, and these are closely related to a theory being chaotic. The connection between the classical chaos and the quantum energy statistics is related using the Gutzreuter Chase formula, which writes the oscillatory part of the density of states in terms of sum of a classical cross orbits, periodic orbits. Here, gamma is the periodic orbits. And in particular, their connection has been understood. For example, the linear ramp is given by the diagonal approximation by Barry. And later, people also understand the correction to the linear ramp is coming from those orbit encounters. So, for example, for the GOE case, tell you the deviation from the linear growth. And here, just a few words about the encounters. That is because you have a rho correlator, you write a sum of a gamma and gamma prime. the diagonal sum approximation is taking gamma equal to gamma prime, but in those encounters is considered gamma very close to gamma prime, but they may deviate at the location where these orbits intersect with itself, or getting close with itself. Okay, so that's a review of the classical chaos, single particle quantum chaos. Recently, in our community, we have been interested in quantum chaos, but mainly with a focus on as a many body quantum chaos. It's interesting because it has both quantum information applications and have something to do with black holes. One interesting feature related to quantum chaos is the notion of information scrambling. That is characterized by this OTOC, OTOC, where we will consider the commutator of some operator W and some Heisenberg evolution operator V. So the commutator will be non-vanishing if the Heisenberg operator V of T overlap with W. So it tells you how a single qubit become encoded in the more complicated qubit. And usually we look at as the operator, we should look at this two norm, right? And if you expand this two norm, you get that the determining part, the key of this object is this OTOC. Where just for notation, the OTOC is defined on this four point function on this OTOC contour, where we have the contour one is evolved forwards and backwards, forward and backwards. So this means the Heisenberg evolution operator e to the iht, e to the minus iht, et cetera. And being a many-body chaotic system that is characterized by the initial exponential growth of the OTOC. And that is a quantum analog of the classical Lyapunov behavior. This quantity have important application in the black hole physics, since it characterizes the near horizon scattering of black holes. And it's, as I said, it's a typical behavior for a large N system, is that it will have an initial growth. This is one of n times e to the lambda t, where lambda is a many-body Lyapunov exponent. And that behavior is valid until the scrambling time, where this is given by one over lambda log n. N is the number of degree freedom in the system. And a lot of physics can be related to this OTOC, such as the Page curve, the hidden Preskill protocol, black hole has mirror, and shockwave, and discussed, and the chaos bound traversable wormhole, etc. There are a lot of interesting development in this related to this quantity, and especially about this initial growth. So that's an analog of the Lyapunov exponent. And of course, as a many-body system, it also, as mentioned, it also has this random matrix behavior. And people understand some aspect of it, like a general aspect. For example, for this linear ramp by Sat, Shankar, and Stanford, they understand the geometric origin of this quantity as coming from some wormhole's contribution in the black hole. That's a double cone geometry that gives you the linear ramp. So in today's talk, I will talk about the late time behavior of OTOC, that is the behavior of OTOC after scrambling time. And we will see that there are two regimes that are important. One regime, so one regime is this shape of this OTOC, It's a nonlinear regime because it's not no longer approximated by this linear perturbation. And we will discuss in the first part of the talk, we will discuss the behavior, what controls the behavior of talk at this regime, like a short after scrambling time. And this behavior will show that it's related by a quantum interference effect. But there's also a very late time behavior of the OTOC. Roughly speaking, this you will see this behavior when t is order n, such that this term is much smaller than e to the minus n. And we will show this regime is essentially controlled by a wormhole contribution. It's a small non-perturbative negative term. And it is a universal behavior because it's governed by the random matrix universality. So let me say it again. We will talk about two parts. The first part, we will describe this nonlinear regime. And we will argue that there's a universal action that controls this nonlinear regime. That action only depends on the Lyapunov exponent and how the only depend on the Lyapunov exponent and the type of operators you are investigating. And what governs this nonlinearity is the quantum interference effect. And the second part will show an instanton contribution to the OTOC. That is because this is a non-perturbative effect. And we will tell you in particular for a gravitational system, its relation with wormholes. But this instant contribution is more general. It's like should be like applied for more general chaotic system, even non-maximum chaotic many body system, similar as a universal action. So that's a brief introduction. Are there any questions? Okay. So if not, let me discuss about some general aspect of quantum chaos and the quantum field theory living on this OTOC contour. So quantum chaos means small initial perturbations can lead to a large change of the field configuration. So we can, we have inserted an initial pair of operators, that can cause a change of the field configuration, delta phi, and the chaotic means this delta phi at late time grows exponentially, e to the lambda t. We can view this delta phi as a special mode living on this OTOC contour. So we have set up our path integral problem on an OTOC contour, which is like the time fold. You define your path integral. And there are various modes exist on this OTOC contour. But compared to, for example, non-OTOC contour, just a Schwinger Keldysh contour, because this forward and backward structure of this contour, we have new modes that appear. And those are the dominating modes in this theory on this OTOC contour. One mode is this delta phi mode. We call such mode as a scrambler mode because it's a mode that excited by initial perturbations on this OTOC contour. And as a mode, it should be normalized. So, and since delta phi grows exponentially, we should normalize it such that at the later time, at the final point where its maximum value of delta phi is order one. That means there's an exponential small factor in front of this delta phi to normalize it. Say it other way, quantum chaos means X can be excited with the exponential weak source. That is, this scrambler mode is exponentially soft, given by the Lyapunov exponent. There are two such modes, X and Y. So because of the time refraction symmetry, one mode is excited by early perturbation, one mode is excited by late perturbation. And the action cannot depend on only one of the mode, because if we only excited one mode, if we only excited one mode, then the action, because the time force, the forward and backward time force cancels, so it cannot have a non-trivial action based on excitation of x. So in order to have a non-trivial action, you need presence of both x and y. And since we're thinking about a Lagrange system, that tells you the action should have this form. So it's an exponential soft action with a coupling between x and y. say it again. From the general property of quantum chaos, one can argue that on this OTOV contour, there exist two exponential soft modes, and this is valid for any chaotic system. In particular, in black holes, such action is a J-toft action that controls the shockwave interaction. And more generally, for weakly chaotic system, we call this as a J-toft-like action. Let me repeat what I have said in cartoons. So we have this OTOC contour, but now let's imagine this OTOC contour is just describing a single particle evolution. So without operator insertion, the particle will go forwards, backwards, and forwards, backwards. Other trajectory are the same because you're just there's no perturbation. And now with the initial perturbation, the insertion of initial operators, it will cause nearby trajectory to deviate. So for example, I have an initial perturbation that will lead this two trajectory, nearby trajectory to deviate. And with this initial operator will lead by this two trajectory to deviate. But this pair of trajectories that I drawn do not necessary to deviate because there's no operator insertion to cause them deviate. So they will follow together each other. So that leads to this this right cartoon. And we can think about this deviation of this pair of trajectories as an effect of the scrambler mode X, and it grows exponentially. And if we're thinking about the correlations between these pairs of contours, it decays, because the trajectory getting further and further away. Similarly, if we have some final operator insertion, so this will lead the deviation of, let's label the contour as 1, 2, 3, 4. So this insertion of operator will lead deviation of the contour between 1 and 4. And this operator will lead deviation of contour between 2 and 3. But the 1, 2, and 3, 4 could be closed together. And this deviation of trajectory between 2 and 3 and 1 and 4 is the effect of this scrambler mode Y. It causes a correlation between those pair of contours decays. And what I claim is that the action, the path integral on this OTOC contour will be at late time will be governed by an action that only depends on these two modes, X and Y, where the, it's exponentially soft action. And we can probe the probe such type of existence of the scrambler mode by looking at correlations on the background of X or Y. We call those as VVX and WWY, V and W operators. So for instance, this VVX will be the late time two-point function in the presence of X excitation, and WWY will be the early time two-point function in the presence of X, in the presence of Y. And just say again, just due to the scrambling effects, this correlators will become smaller and smaller when X and Y become larger. And in particular, if we have one-point function vanish, this correlator decays to zero at large X and Y. So let's give a more explicit example to show this how this action emerges. That is, then let me talk about this Brownian SYK model, which is a chaotic system, many-body chaotic system, use zero plus one dimensional many-body chaotic system, consists of n Majorana fermions. We call those as psi a from one to n. its Hamiltonian is all to all interacting. So a1 to an run from one to n, and they are different from each other with a random coupling constant, j. It's called Brownian SYK. So if j is time independent, then it's just an ordinary SYK system. It's called Brownian SYK because this j coupling constant is time dependent. And in particular, its two-point function is only non-zero when t and t prime are equal. So there are several features I want to discuss about this model. First, it's chaotic, so out-to-out interaction. And second, this theory, just like SYK type of theory, it's dominated by Mellonic diagrams. So this is dominating Feynman diagrams at large n. And third, it's a difference from U to SYK because time dependent. And that says the theory does not have energy conservation. So in some sense, it's like an infinite temperature system. And four, the only parameter here is this J, but J is dimensional. So it can be absorbed by defining the units of the time. So there's no dimension parameter. And indeed, this theory at late time should approach to a random unitary evolution up to existence of global symmetry, such as fermion parity or time reversal. But we will not worry about the global symmetry in this talk. So we can consider the Brownian SYK system living on this OTOC contour and talking about its behavior over the old talk before and after scrambling time. This Brownian SYK system is surprisingly simple in solving such such quantities, and that's why I bring it up. So, but before that, let me introduce some notation. So we want to consider OTOC for the Brownian SYK system, and we want to do the path integral of the Brownian SYK system on this OTOC contour. A convenient way to do the path integral is to view this as a full copy of Brownian SYK system with some finite initial and the final boundary conditions. So we can view this full copy as we label the four copies of system as 1, 2, 3, 4. So we have fermion living on the contour one called phi one or psi one, psi two, psi three, and psi four. Those are the fermions living on each of the time folds. On the OTOC, we will impose some initial and final boundary conditions. So without operator insertion, it's like a grouping between 1, 2, 3, and 4. So this will give you some boundary condition like a phi one, psi one equal to I psi two, psi three equal to I psi four. And here we'll group them like psi one equal to minus I psi four, psi two equal to minus I psi three. That's the boundary condition you impose, and then you do the path integral. As a SYK system, the path integral at large n will be dominated by the Schwinger-Dyson equation. You can do like a saddle point analysis at the large n. And mean field variable in this large n system is the correlators. So this OTOC contour, due to some discrete Z2 symmetries, the only non-trivial correlators as these three correlators. We call it X, Y, and Z. let me label. So this X correlator labels the correlation between one and two. So this is X. And due to the Z2 symmetry, it's also the same as the correlation between three and four. And the Y type of correlator tell you the correlation between one and three and two and four. Finally, there's this Z type of correlator tell you the correlation between 1, 4 and 2, 3. Those are the type of two-point functions that enters in the Schwing-Dyson equation in the Brownian SYK system. And they are equal time correlators on different contour. you can derive it actually quite easy, but I will not go over the derivation. But the final result of the Schwing-Dyson equation is a set of three ordinary differential equations. So that's the simplicity from Brownian SYK. So in U2 SYK, it's an integral differential equation. But due to the special property of the Brownian SYK, that the JJ only non-zero at equal time, so this integral differential equation boils down to an ordinary differential equation. That makes this problem solvable. And this set of ordinary differential equation, in addition, have two conserved charges. So essentially, there's only one equation that you can solve, plug in mathematics and solve it. And to consider OTOC, then we insert the operator that will change the boundary condition because of the insertion of the operator. And we will choose the operator insertion as e to the I gamma psi 1 psi 4. And at late time, e to the I gamma psi 1 psi 2. Those are the type of operators we choose. And the boundary condition that correspond to the insertion of the operators are given by these two set of boundary equation. So the initial boundary condition related to the initial value of X with Z, which essentially is just a relative boost, and the Y in terms of Z. And the final boundary condition is a similar with the interchange of between Z and X. So you can plug in this boundary condition and in this ODE equations, and you can solve it. Here is a numerical solutions one can find. So let's discuss the solution before and after scrambling time. So before scrambling time, if you solve out these equations, you find the pattern of correlation living on this OTOC contour behave like this. So let me discuss this behavior a little bit. So remember, this X labels the correlation between those contours. So the X at initially it's maximum, but at a later time it decays, and this deviation goes like e to the lambda t. That is the effect of this red operator. This red operator causes this 1, 2 contours to deviate from each other. So this red operator causes 1, 2 deviate from each other. And that decorrelates this X type of correlator. And that is shown by this, this behavior. And similarly, this Z type of correlator, it was maximal in the past, but then goes down also exponentially. That is the effect of this final operator insertion, which causes 1, 2 correlators, 1, 4 trajectory to deviate. So this 1, 4 deviate. And then this this behavior of this what X and Z correlator controls the behavior of Y correlators. So that is all we expected, as it's a chaotic system. And we can look at the behavior after scrambling time, just taking the time a little bit longer. Then what you find is that after scrambling time, you have three set of saddles coming from this set of differential equation. I draw the first one, second one, and the third one is just a time refreshing of the figure two. So I will not, So let's discuss this first saddle. So this first saddle has an exponential small correlations between at the early time of the Z type of correlators and the exponential small value of X type of correlator. So that is like just taking this this before scrambling time saddle and make it a time longer. So everything decays to zero. Pictorially, we can view this this saddle as describing some pattern of correlation that described by this shape, where the trajectory deviates. So here there's no correlations. So Z goes to zero and X goes to zero. But in the middle, there's a region where they have strong up kind of correlations. That is this middle region where all the contours are close to each other. But there's also two other set of points. The first set of point is given by this one. Let's try to understand this behavior a little bit better. So this saddle have a maximum correlation of X at all time, and then decay of the Z type of correlators. You can understand this behavior as the following. So imagine we study the theory without this initial operator insertion. That give us this, just insert the late time correlators. That will give us scrambling effect such that both Z and Y decays at the early time and only X is non-zero. So that's a saddle when we only insert the Z type of correlator, insert the late time operators. But now on this background, if we insert this initial type of correlators, because these two contours already decorrelated, the insertion of a pair of initial operators make no effect, because the two-point function goes to zero. And that leads to this this saddle, this new saddle. And also the time refraction pair is, it's a Z2 time, it's a time refraction of this saddle, where we start with the insertion of the initial operators that cause the final correlator decays to zero. Then you insert a pair of operators, but that make no impact. In other words, this middle saddle is an unstable saddle. A small perturbation of the middle saddle will goes down to this Z2 spontaneous symmetry breaking pattern of the OTOC. So that's the behavior of the classical solution, but you need to do the one loop analysis to make sure that you can trust the classical set point approximation. So before let's discuss the one loop analysis before the scrambling time. So that's this behavior. You'll find that if you do like one loop analysis on this background, you'll find there exist two expansionary soft modes. These two expansionary soft modes are roughly speaking the width of this middle region. We call this middle region as a hump. So the width of the hump and the center of mass of this middle region. Those are characterized by some symmetric and anti-symmetric perturbation of the system, and both have an exponential soft action with a relative minus sign. And this, you can do a, like a, adding and subtracting of these two symmetric and anti-symmetric modes, and that defines our scrambler mode that we mentioned at the beginning. So we because we already use a variable x, y, and z, we call it x plus and x minus. And since they have exponential soft action, so classical action for these two modes have this form. That's what we get based on our general argument. And so we see that before scrambling time, those are the lowest eigenvalues of the kernel in this problem. So the softest fluctuations. And before scrambling time, their coefficient is bigger than one. So we can trust the one loop analysis. But after scrambling time, and these two soft modes still exist after scrambling time. And after scrambling time, we find that this coefficient is smaller than one, That means the one loop analysis breaks down, which means the saddle point approximation breaks down after scrambling time. So in other words, these saddles we discussed, we shouldn't trust them because the true answer will deviate from them by the large fluctuation of the scramblons. So that's bad because we don't know what to do. Like it's a mean field analysis. We do like we do the classical. We find the classical saddle and we do the one loop and we find it. We cannot check the answer. But we think that we can answer this problem because it's our conjecture. Our conjecture is that at a late time, this path integral is only dominated by these two scramblon modes. And then you can write down effective action purely based on these two modes. And so this is the effective action. So this is the J-Tolle-Vdelec action and this gamma, this two gamma factor is coming from this operator insertion e to the I gamma psi one psi four, e to the I gamma psi one psi psi two. And so this is the gamma factor and this factor is a two-point function on the background of excitation of x and x plus and x minus. So this is a VV x plus, sorry, let's call it psi psi x plus. Psi psi x minus. So those are the back reacted correlator on this scramblon background. And you need to solve it. And after solve it, you find this this behavior. We think this is the effective action that accurately describes the path integral at late time based on two reasons. First, if you look at this effective action, you find that its saddle point exactly recovers the numerical saddles we find before and after scrambling time. So before scrambling time, it took exactly recover this saddle, and after scrambling time, it exactly recover these three saddles. And we can do one loop analysis around it. Then you find that it captures these two lowest eigenvalues of the kernel around it. So that's our universal theory to describe in this Brownian SYK to describe this OTOC at late time. But like you can generalize this. So this have right. Let me expand a little bit better. So just to read this pattern. So here this is a J to Vdelec action. And here those are the correlators on this background. So you need the J-Tolle action only depends on the Lyapunov exponent, and you need to solve this two-point function on this shockwave background, and then plug this in, you get this effective action. That's all the ingredient of the effective action. Just that give you even more evidence why it's true. So in this group, people have numerically calculated the Brownian SYK using diagonalizations. They got OTOC up to n equal to 10 to the 6. In particular, they consider this fermion four-point function. You can use our effective action to do this OTOC calculations. So just keep this x plus x minus scrambler modes. Now here, these operators are done in the exponent. So those are the psi 2-point function on the scrambler background. You do this integral exactly. It's written in terms of some hypergeometric U functions, and you plug this in. So this blue curve is our analytical result based on our effective theory. And then the red curve is their numerical result. Like they just match exactly. So this result is first derived in our paper, but then later also reproduced by Gu, Kitai, and Zhang. A few remarks. So this theory, you can do a Fourier transformation. Instead of X and Y, you can do Fourier transformation in terms of P and Q. Then you can write it as a path integral over P and Q. Then this can be understood as an iconal resummation in the gravity background, where this P and Q are the non-momentums, and this is the scattering matrix, S matrix. And in the paper by Gu, Kitai, and Zhang, they based on using ladder diagrams, so it's also like Melanic type diagram dominating, they derive this action from the Feynman diagrams using ladder diagrams. And we call it as a quantum interference effect, because the main dominating effect of this this late time behavior of OTOC is coming from this spreading of the wave function. That is, this V and W, you can think about that as a particle create some wave propagating in the background, and it have a wave function distribution in its non-momentums. And then this whole effect is coming from the wave function distributions in the non-momentums. Okay, so that's my first part. Are there any questions? Okay, so if not, then let's talk about this non-perturbative contribution to OTOC. So here we already discussed the behavior of the OTOC at this like before and after scrambling time, and the behavior decays exponentially. And after it decays much smaller than e to the minus n, then we will have a late time behavior OTOC, that is our random matrix universality comes in. So the random matrix predicts that the late time behavior of OTOC should be given by a product of 2-point functions, VV, WW, with a coefficient 1 over L squared, where L is e to the n, which is a Hilbert space dimension. This is governed by random unitary behavior. So let me quickly go over that for you. So you have this OTOCs. You can view this time evolution e to the iht at late time. You can approximate it as a random unitary U. So you have UU star, UU star. And that's our OTOC. And if it's a random unitary, you can estimate the result, just do a hard average over U. And this is done by Robert Yoshida and Kitab Yoshida. You find the following result. In the case when VV and WW have vanishing one-point function, so the final result is governed by this single term with a coefficient 1 over 1 minus L to the minus 2 times minus 1 over L squared. In the limit of large Hilbert space dimension, we can ignore this first piece, and that's our late time behavior of OTOC. So how do the hard average do this integral? Let me just quickly go over that for you. So you can view this hard average of this four product of unitaries as certain projection operators. It projects to a two subspace, which is a maximum entangled state between one and two and one and four. So this is a maximum entangled state between one, two, three, four, or one, four, two, three. You can check that it's a projection onto this two state just by acting on this these two states. Then you find that UU star cancel. So they are in these two states are indeed in this subspace. And that's the only two states that is invariant. And then since it's a projection, you can write down the projection operator in this two subspace. You can write, so the first two terms are the naive term you will write. But since these two states do not are not orthogonal, they are overlap, is order one of L, you need to subtract all their non-orthogonalities. That's these two negative terms comes from. Now, if you compute this path integral with the OTOCs, then you find that the last term is a two-point function. Late time behavior of OTOC, that's a two-point function. So that means this late time behavior OTOC is given by this subtraction of non-orthogonality in this random projection. And in addition, it tells you a little bit more information. If you look at the pattern of the correlation on this inner product, then you find there's a transition of the correlation pattern. At early time, the correlation is large between the Z type of correlator, between one and four. But at later time, the transition is the correlation is large for the X type of correlator, one, two. So therefore, seems suggests that this negative non-productivity term should be given by some saddle where describe a transition of an entanglement pattern in this geometry. And that's indeed true. So you can check in the Brownian SYK. So in Brownian SYK, we have the same set of ODE equations. We take the time to be longer, much longer than scrambling time. Then you find the new solutions, new saddles in this problem. The leading non-trivial one is this hump geometry. It have a large Z type of correlator at the beginning, then decays to zero. And but after this hump, the X type of correlator starts from zero, goes to maximal. So that just is a manifestation of this type of structure, entanglement structure. This middle region where both X and Z now overlap, we call it a hump region. You can pictorially understand this saddle in terms of periodic orbits as the following way. So first, we have this insertion of the red operators that leads the deviation between one, two, and three, four. That's this deviation. And at a later time, we have the V type of operator that leads to the deviation of this pair of corridor contours. But when this pair of contours are like very far away from each other, they kind of explore all the Hilbert space. So they have a little chance to coming back to each other again. That describes this hump region. So that describes this this very deviated pair of trajectory happen to be close to each other. And then this middle is like basically is an encounter region where you interchange the pair of correlators into one, two, and three, four. And that can be smoothly grouped to the late time behavior. So that's what this saddle basically tells you. And because you explore the whole Hilbert space, then you have like an exponential small probability to be close to each other. That's the reason why this saddle is non-perturbably suppressed. And indeed, you can calculate the classical action of the saddle. You find it's non-perturbative suppressed. It's e to the minus n. And again, you need to do the one loop of fluctuations around the saddle. Then you find that in this hump, you also get these two scrambler modes. Basically, it tells you the location of the hump and then the width of the hump, x symmetric and x antisymmetric. And still, because this time is much longer than scrambling time, this fluctuation is like insanely large. And you cannot, technically, you cannot trust this set point analysis. And it's, again, our conjecture that the underlying quantum mechanical, underlying integral that governs this set point is a type of integral only given by this scrambler mode integral, so x plus x minus integral with the same drift of the action. But now, since the hump need to be away from these two ends, this integral have a integral range have a restriction that both x and x plus and x minus have to be non-zero. And then this integral give you a final answer is minus one. So combine this classical piece, it's e to the minus n times this minus one, you got minus e to the minus n. And then you have this product two-point function set to recover the this robot Kitagawa Yoshida formula of late time OTOC. So this is kind of bit hand waving because we do not know it's like multiple dimensional like path integral. We don't know like whether it truly behave like this, but we have like good confidence it should behave like this. But we can do a similar story, reproduce the same result from a more well-controlled system. That is a JT gravity, which is a maximum chaotic system. In JT gravity, this saddle, this hump saddle is given by this handle disk geometry. It's a wormhole geometry. And so if before on this disk, we have W, W, V, V. This two classical trajectory intersects that decay described via scattering. That's the result of the decay of the four-point function. But if you have an additional wormhole, this V and W particles can avoid each other such that there are no scatterings. That gives you some non-zero answer at late time. In the embedding coordinates, you can cut this wormhole and embed it in a hyperbolic plane, then you get this geometry. Where here U1, U2, U3, U4 are Lorentzian time evolution. So you need to do another continuation of this geometry. So say it again, miss each other through wormhole, therefore the result is big at late time. And there's this one, because adding a wormhole in JT gravity give you some topological factor, it's e to the minus s naught suppression. So that also matches with this one of L squared. That you, yeah, this minus one of L squared W. W V. So that's this one minus one of L squared is the wormhole effect. This WWVV is just this this classical two-point function on this wormhole background. And if you, we can investigate this path integral on this wormhole, exactly, it's given by the Schwarzschild path integral. So we can do it. Then you find it's again dominated by this scrambler mode, this x plus x minus integral mode with exactly the integral that we conjectured in the last slide. Here, this x plus and x minus describes the null shift around when the particle going intersect this horizontal line, or the particle intersect with the vertical line. X plus and X minus are the amount of null shift at the intersection. And so if you plug this in jet gravity, you have this this two scrambler mode integral. Yeah, this scrambler mode in jet gravity becomes a shockwave shift at the black horizon. So you get this minus sign is coming from this scrambler integral, this minus one of L squared coming from this wormhole, and this product of two-point function coming from the four-point function on this wormhole geometry. So that gives you the exactly reproduce this random unitary behavior. So, and we have, we believe that this theory is, this action is more general with lambda replaced by the corresponding Lyapunov exponent in the, for the corresponding theory. So let me conclude. So in this talk, I discuss two late time regime of OTOC. So first is a nonlinear regime where you have, we propose a universal J-Tolhoff-like action for a generic chaotic system. And in particular, we show it how it works in Brownian SYK. And the dominating is the quantum interference effect. And the second part is a much later time where the non-perturbative contribution to OTOC is controlled by the random unitary behavior. So robot Kitai Yoshida formula. And in particular in JT gravity, it's controlled by a higher genus surface contribution to the OTOC. Okay, that's it.
Thank you very much for the very interesting talk. Are there any questions for Zenbin?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when you get to the non-perturbative regime, I should see a rampant plateau if I did a log-log plot?
No, the rampant plateau is for the special form factor. Here we're talking about OTOC.
So you don't expect to see a rampant plateau in OTOCs?
Right. So. So this is the time of other, there will be rampant, there may be rampant plateaus, but that will be exponential late time. So here's this late time behavior. Right, here this late time behavior is time much bigger than n, but much smaller than e to the n. So you may see something like rampant plateau at time order e to the n.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a random unitary behavior. It just happens much earlier.
Are there any more questions? If not, let's thank Zenbin again. Thank you for the very nice talk.
Thank you.